It's a nasty way of living sometimes. My jar ain't holding a single dime. My glass is holding the last thing that I wanna do. I'm gonna drink every dime I make tonight, and I'll die just to get a room. It's a bad, bad business, always trying to forget you. Well, our souls are a little older, but you can't tell when you learn a thing. But there's 12 that got invited, and we're 13. We're the last one to know it's over. We're the first one to have to bed. And we're the dogs that crawl for miles on broken legs. We're the dregs. Well, I've pawned everything I've ever owned just to drive 8 hours to this barroom show, and to play these songs, and to pray for friendly faith. It ain't easy acting like it ain't personal, but the band asked me not to curse no more. So I'll play all these sad songs and lean on these mad songs, okay. Well, our souls are a little older, but you can't tell we learned a thing. If there's 12 that got invited, then we're 13. We're the last one to know it's over. We're the first one to have to be. We're the dogs that crawl for miles on broken legs. We're the dregs. Now the parking lot is an old ghost town. No evidence anyone has ever been around, except a handful of gravel and a half pint of something mean. So I'll retreat somewhere and cover my wounds and pray to God that the checkout's noon. If there's any luck left, it'll be halfway clean. Well, our souls are a little older, but you can't tell we've learned a thing. If there's 12 that got invited, then we're 13. We're the last one to know it's over. We're the first one to have to be. And we're the dogs that crawl for miles on broken legs. We're the dregs. Welcome
into another episode of the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mike, and you just heard the Dogs acoustic version from Justin Wells. And this is very Kentucky-filled episode today. We are joined with a guest host, Jonathan Oost, a.k.a. Meme Man. He does a lot of work with us, as well as Justin Wells himself. And at the end of this episode is a very big surprise. We got a brand new single from Justin Wells, Blue Moon of Kentucky. It might not sound brand new because that's obviously a great Bill Monroe song, but Justin Wells just had a cover of that released yesterday, if you're listening to this on the first day of this episode, and that is tacked on at the end. Now, this single is special because all of the proceeds from this song are going to tornado relief in Kentucky. So that's something Justin's doing with this single. He rushed to the studio just in the last week or two to get this done. So go buy that song. All the proceeds go towards tornado relief in Kentucky. And also the fund that it's going to is set up by the Lost Dog Street Band. So we'll have that fund, if you want to donate directly, linked in the description of our bio as well. We're going to skip out on a sponsorship ad this episode and just ask that all the proceeds go towards that tornado relief. I want to give one last thank you to everybody who helped buy merch from us on that two-day stint we did last week. We raised over $400 from you guys buying our merch, and all the proceeds going towards that. So very Kentucky-filled episode here. And I hope you guys enjoy the tunes from Justin Wells, the conversation, and thank you to everybody supporting the tornado victims in Kentucky. Enjoy the episode.
I'm kind of glad that that early part of my time in this business was not so much YouTube and things where people could capture what I was doing and post into posterity.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole different ball game now.
It's pretty easy for me to pretend like that was a different dude. That's like Josh Morningstar's rap career.
Josh Morningstar, he's living in Western Kentucky now, too.
No, he's just outside of Knoxville right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's hiding. He's in parts unknown. I don't think there's any think he's got a compound. It's like a concrete building with no electric, no power, and guard dogs of various hybrid species.
He's spending that Cody Jinks money well.
I think he's squirreling it away. You're going to stick it on a rocket ship. He don't never go home to buy nothing.
He's always out.
Yeah, that's my dude.
Well, I think that's a perfectly good conversation to like bring the episode in on how Josh Morningstar spending his Cody Jinks money. we're sitting here on like the fourth or fifth rescheduled podcast with Justin Wells. And
the cursed podcast.
The cursed podcast. It's crazy, dude. Because the first time that it was supposed to happen, Schuster texted me, and he was with you that night, I assume. He's like, "Let's get Justin on there." I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude! We love Justin." And then my girlfriend broke her ribs the first night that we were supposed to do this wrestling. She's a wrestler, so for those who don't know that. The second time, Garrett had a blizzard in Kentucky, or not in Kentucky, in Canada.
In Kentucky.
The third time, well, that I was combining two, because then the third time, Kentucky had a tornado, and you were doing a benefit for that. That was very recently. And here we finally are with
in a McDonald's. Jonathan.
And Justin's in a McDonald's, and we're at Kentucky.
Litchfield.
I think we're in Litchfield. Yeah. Litchfield.
How far is that from you, Jonathan?
It's like a little under an hour, maybe. Yeah. All right. Maybe not. Yeah, about 45 minutes or so.
Yeah. So we got the Kentucky episode of Kentucky episodes here.
I'll take that.
What better week to do it?
I'll take that.
Dude, Justin, I want to say it's so cool to see the community come together after a December tornado in Kentucky. Like, when you texted me and you're like, hey, man, I got bad news. And it was the picture of the microphone. Like, Mac had already filled me in that what you guys were doing. But that's so cool to see the music community, like, just instantly come together when stuff like that happens, man. It's nuts. But yeah, like, what better excuse to skip out on our podcast?
Well, you know, man, that's the deal. I don't think a lot of people get into this for any other reason than to deal in emotion. And, you know, emotions are running pretty high right now. I've always been fond of the idea that when there is, you know, hard times, that, you know, people don't call the doctors to donate their time. They call us musicians. And I like that.
Yeah. Blue collar.
Yeah.
For sure. And I mean, it seems like, you know, everywhere from, you know, you had the Whiz Bang show that they're getting ready to do. You had the one the other night. I mean, they're popping up all over from West to East Kentucky. And it's fast too. I mean, everybody's just been dropping what they're doing and going and doing it. And
they're all announced right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And there's more to come that we probably don't even know about. And obviously you've been down to the communities down there and seen, I mean, it's crazy to look at in person. And I've only driven through it as of now, but it's wild to see places you've spent time in just gone.
Makes you take stock.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know, there can be a little too much playing sometimes around, but boy, that stops in its tracks.
Yeah. And I tell you what, it seems like, and I know other places are like this too, but it seems like Kentucky's just a little bit different whenever it comes to, and you see, you know, you saw when it happened, people on different sides of the aisle outside of the state just taking shots here and there. And then it seemed like inside the state, it didn't matter. Both sides were just stuck together. And, you know, I mean, it's nice to see, especially in the times we live in.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, it's kind of funny you talk about the times we live in. The times we live in have led to me disconnecting from social media, from the news, as much as possible. And I have zero regrets, except when the tornadoes hit, because I found out about it rather late and found out about how serious it was even later. And, you know, this is my state. I do live here. I should know, but maybe that, you know, throwing out the baby with the bathwater, I don't know.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's great to see Kentucky coming together as you know, they are. It's a tight-knit. I think the tight-knit music community just reflects into, like, far more than music. Like, it's just a tight-knit state. Like, everybody looks out for each other. You know, it's a state that seems like, you know, we don't want handouts, but, like, we're going to help each other when we need it, you know?
Yeah.
But I have to say, with the upcoming Citrus Bowl, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Iowa's football coach put out a fundraiser for, like, Iowans to help out Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Too. That thing's cool. I mean, you can't not talk about that on a podcast where I'm from Iowa. You guys are Kentucky guys. We're playing in a bowl game.
That's what cool. I was just about to say, man. Like, especially in the genre of music where I find myself and where you guys find yourself working, people talking about Kentucky a lot right now. But you know, let's be fair. There's good folks everywhere, and and I tend to meet them. You know, folks like y'all, and you know, they just talk different.
Yeah. They're all over the place from California to New York. There's people like us everywhere, and it's nice to see, you know, everybody can kind of come together. That's the good thing about social media. So, you know, but
well, I guess that's a good thing about social media. That's a good thing about little no name bars in the middle of nowhere. That's even more fun. Speaking of that, I'd be remiss to not mention that I was 5 minutes late joining you on this Zoom call because I had Adam Lee with me. You know, Adam, songwriter out of Ludlow, Kentucky, about my favorite. And he'd seen this little Mexican restaurant that didn't have no Wi-Fi or I'd be over there, but he saw them. And he said, those neons, I think, mean that this is not a dry county, Justin, if you'd be so kind. Got me off this Mexican restaurant. I'm about to set up all that guacamole and all that Jim Beam.
Yeah, he's enjoying himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have a particular set of skills.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to go with that. I'm sorry I deprived you from the Mexican restaurant because I didn't have Wi-Fi. But
buddy, I can get the meal. It's fine.
Is it a McDonald's play place at least? Do you get to go like down the slide in the ball pit? Or
do they have those anymore? Are ball pits still a thing?
They shut them down for – I mean, we had like one of them did down here, but they've shut them down, and I think they probably were ready to get rid of them.
If I was starting a metal band right now, I think I would call it the COVID-19 McDonald's ball pit. It'd be the blackest of black metal.
Just one of those M logos, looks like tree roots just flowing everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Let's segue this into some Justin Wells music. We got Meme Man Jonathan on here because we just had to, you know. Jonathan's known Justin's music probably as long as I've been alive. And
hold on, how old are we?
Yeah, no doubt. Putting age on us, buddy.
I'm just kidding. He's listened to you, Justin, for a long time. So it's, you got to get Jonathan on here. It just makes sense. But you got two singles out this year. You know, you redid The Dogs acoustically. And I believe that's what we're starting. We got to start the show with that. So y'all have already heard that one. And then the second single, Heart Out Here. I mean, it just seems like a storm's brewing in the Justin Wells camp for new music.
Could be.
No? Could be? Just could be.
Rumor has it.
Rumor has it. That's what we like to hear.
We'll take it. We'll take it. No, but you guys are out back touring again. I haven't seen any Iowa shows on there. So, you know, if you're...
My everlasting regret.
What's that?
I said, to my everlasting regret that we don't have Iowa shows on there. I was just in Davenport. Oh, it's been the summer. You know, it's a few months ago. But
yeah.
And we just about had a – honestly, it was tonight. We had a almost deal that I couldn't make work, but my pal Miles Nielsen is playing over there at the Raccoon Motel tonight.
That's my buddy Alex Williams is playing there on Friday.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm heading to the Raccoon on Friday, but –
Well, give him a hug from me. You can wrap your arms around that guy like five times.
You might be able to. I've seen you.
Alex is this big.
Alex,
that's about
talking
how
Alex
I'm built.
Yeah.
He's built like me, dude. He's a mix between
yeah, you're
me and Jonathan. Jonathan's a mini person. John.
We have the bodies of young adolescents, Mike. You're just tall. Yeah.
I'm at this least I'm tall, but I'm just tiny.
He's a new daddy too. Well, I guess not new at this point, but I think he's got a 1 year old.
Yeah.
I
did see you're coming pretty close and up to Showboat Saloon and the Dells at some point. I can't remember when that is, but I saw your name on there because I love the guy who owns that is so kind and I always try to go up there as much as I can, but that place is awesome. I don't know if you ever played there before, but it's
I've already played that show, unfortunately, and that was like a week ago.
Son of a bitch.
Look, man, you gotta you and Google Calendar need a better relationship.
Dude,
I feel in love with that spot, and that's all I've been talking about ever since. I'm going to take my wife and kids up there. I think it seems like a good place to just kind of disappear.
Yeah.
Just the nature of it. But more than that, dude, they rolled out the red carpet. You know, I'm not drinking these days, which is unfortunate because they had a driver and like three hotels for the two of us. And
yeah,
it seemed like the kind of town that I could, just never leave.
And what town is it in, Mike?
It's out by the Wisconsin Dells. So
okay. I just heard about it the first time whenever you went there for the Arlo show, I think.
Right.
And it looks like a killer spot.
I don't know if they know that marijuana is not legal in their state. They don't seem to be
aware. Okay, so we went up for the Arlo show, and we know Arlo's camp pretty well. That guy who runs Showboat is like, I've talked to him for a while. He's such a good dude. And we went up there and we had planned out kind of a thing where I do like a video shoot of Arlo playing, some B-roll stuff from backstage, all that. I had my drone out flying over the river there because it's beautiful up there.
It was frozen the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit. That's not that far away. I don't like it being that cold. So we went, I was with my buddy who is like 37 years old. He's like 10 years older than me. And we went across the road to this bar, and it's called something ridiculous. I can't remember the name, but it's like a sexual innuendo on taking shots of something. And we walk over there and we're like, let's just get away for a minute, have a beer. My buddy is not only sober, like he was just like hanging out, but we walk into the place. It's like 5 p.m. It's before the show. And they kicked us out because my buddy left his wallet in my car. And he's like 37 years old and not even ordering a drink.
Well, he should have been smoking weed.
He wasn't. He
well,
does.
He should have been.
Gonna be smoking weed.
He does all the time, but I didn't let him smoke in my car. This guy's stone cold sober, not even ordering anything. They kicked us out because he didn't have his ID. Like, dude, he's like almost 40. But
you felt quite dipping good is what was the problem.
Maybe.
Maybe. Could have been it.
Could have been. Oh, boy.
Well, you need to get there and you need to buddy up with the fellow they call White Shoes, because that dude has got the keys to the kingdom. And he knows all the back doors to all the speakeasies and all the sideways entrances into the dark dimension of that town. We went in those places and we found those those dimensions.
Dude, the Dells have dark dimensions. Like it's like cool. A town where it's one of those where it blows up in the summer, and then in the off season it's like a ghost town. And
that's what they're saying. Dude.
It's a weird place, but.
That kind of stuff like, right there is like one of my favorite parts of this job is just finding the odd little spots. And I don't mean odd in it. I certainly don't mean odd in a negative way. I mean odd in a positive way. Like, hey, man, if you drive in this town, you might just be in like a Stephen King novel and you might not be able to leave.
Yeah.
I love
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
We found this on that run with Arlo that we've done where we did that showboat. We found this little town called Benton Harbor, Michigan. To make a long story short, they had a cult there that I think was prominent in the 30s called the Israelite House of David. And a lot of controversy, a lot of odd things, perhaps a hotel that has long been abandoned right in the middle of town that perhaps has, you know, really odd graffiti of eyes on the windows of the upstairs. It's pretty I love it, man. Pretty wild.
Did you go in?
Couldn't figure out how.
You needed white shoes.
Okay, look, let me be honest. Yeah. I had Adam with me and I had Arlo's current band, the Frontier Folk Nebraska Boys, were riding with me because that little run was eat up with van troubles for me and Arlo, but some of those dudes' constitutions wouldn't quite let us enter that building unlawfully. So
yeah.
I yielded to my guest.
Well, I've got it pulled up on Google. I'm going to check that out after the show.
But let's go back.
What town was that in?
Benton Harbor.
Yes, sir. It's like the most southwest county in Michigan.
I'm a sucker for that stuff.
You're listening.
If there's anybody listening, you're right on the other day. fill us in if you've ever been in this hotel. Dude, you Google Benton Arbor, and the first thing that pops up is that hotel.
Here we go, boys. Don't even start looking for the little creepy train. Don't look for that.
It's just, you know, it's a remote place when Wikipedia says it's a city that's 46 miles southwest of Kalamazoo. The biggest city of reference is Kalamazoo.
Dang.
You're in Bumble.
Go up there and record an album. There it is.
Look up Cairo, Illinois, spelled.
Oh, like, hey, I've been there.
See, that's a ghost town. That is an absolute ghost town down there in southwest quarter of
Illinois. It's on the border of Kentucky.
We've been
and
all
Missouri. It's like in the corner there. Yeah.
We've been in that GEM theater, GEM theater, and it's got a tree growing out of the wall. It's been abandoned so long.
We used to have, when I used to work for a crane company, we have to go down there. They have a grain plant in Cairo. And, we'd have to go down there. Every time we go down there, there was holes in the road big enough to drive like half a truck into. Windows missing out of every building you would drive by. It's a weird place.
There's a great documentary on it on YouTube that I would recommend to all your weird listeners. I'm pretty obsessed with that town. And right next to it is a town called Future City, population 8. I think it's a misnomer.
Man, it's been forever. I worked at that company in like 07, and I used to have to go. And I always tell people about that place. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it, man. Somebody, I don't remember, it wasn't Robert Ellis. Somebody wrote a song about it, or maybe a whole album. I'm probably making that up. I think there is a Carol. Maybe it was a, I don't know. I'll just be guessing.
So it's weird that
it's going to be on Ghost Town.
It's weird that a town like Cairo, Illinois gets brought up multiple times, but we had a girl by the name of B. Taylor on here who's out of Nashville, like a alternative style singer. And we had her on because she was at Master Musicians in Somerset, and we loved her there, brought her on the show, and we're like, well, where's your next, you know, few shows at? Where you're running to? And she was going to Cairo, and she told us all about it. So it's for a town like that, it's weird that it's multiple times brought up on the show, right?
Dude, I want to play a show there. If she plays a show there before me, everyone is fired.
I don't even know where you play a show in the middle of the street. One of those old places.
No, we'll go in
there. That place is still running?
No, it's been vacant for 40 years, but Aretha played there and B.B. King played there, man. Yes,
it's
sir.
It's so crazy, dude, because it's right there by, right in that southwest corner right there.
I'm about to have to ask McDonald's employees if they could turn it down a little bit.
They're fine.
Kick me out.
Hey, let's play a second song here in the middle. Let's do a heart out here. We like to have the guys talk about a little bit about the song and kind of intro it before we play it. Think you can handle that?
I like to keep it vague. That song is about people that maybe come from a family or a community where, not necessarily closed-minded, but different thinking. And maybe those people don't fit that mold, and maybe those people have to get away from that community to express themselves. Born into a family at dawn before they damn me down. Talk if they would listen, all the things they're missing now. It gets hard out here alone. Lord, if I'd known. Calm as a sea breeze, mama, if you could see me now. Thank you.
Darling man, if I just called her name. Gone in the morning, but company all the same. It gets hard out here alone. Lord, if I'd known, I'd have been better instead of what I became. It gets hard out here. It gets hard out here.
Gaptooth. Okay, so real talk. Who do you guys think is Gaptooth?
Who do you think is Gaptooth?
They all think I'm Gaptooth, and I wish I was
Gaptooth. No, you're not Gaptooth.
Yeah, I know.
I keep leaning towards less every day I live. It's less and less that it's Jonathan.
See, they still think I'm Gaptooth.
No, I'm telling you, it's Jonathan would have I've to, lived a lot of days since I thought it was, so I don't think.
I think Jonathan would have to get zero sleep to be Gaptooth.
Gaptooth doesn't get any sleep. That's the thing.
How do you know Gaptooth's the dude?
Kicking It on the Creek, the last one they had. When we were in the back talking to a few different artists, and a few of them were pitching around an idea that they thought it was one of the girls from Bird Cloud. But, you know, who knows if that's true. I know those girls are crazy, but.
Mike got so tired of this conversation that he's literally leaving the room.
No, I just needed some nicotine. I'll be fine.
Are we going to the urinal with you? I think this is flat out inappropriate.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh,
you got weird lights in your bathroom, Mike.
Yeah, I've been in my bathroom the entire time. Dude, Gaptooth can't be a girl. I don't want to stereotype, but like, that's a lot of dildos.
Could be a woman though. Well,
that's some man. Crude male humor, I think. I don't know.
Oh man, you what? Yeah. All women don't talk dirty.
You ought to come hang out with my wife and her friends.
Mike's woman broke ribs.
Yeah,
he's a badass.
Slam dude for a living.
Girlfriend's badass. That's. But I still don't see her photoshopping strap-ons on Luke Bryan's face. So.
How did you know the name of my next record?
Strap-ons on Luke Bryan's face.
God dang. That might be a collaborative effort between me and Gaptooth.
Let's go. Let's go. Multimedia experience. This is what the people want.
Oh God.
Oh man.
I have a couple questions as far as the Lexington music scene now, as opposed to whenever you were like really like coming up. And what would you say, like, was it like the old 70s, 06, 07, was that kind of when you started performing more and more with the Fifth on the Floor stuff? And
yeah, 06 is when we started the band. Yeah.
I just wondered how much you think it's changed. And I mean, obviously it has changed. It seems like it's becoming more prevalent, more of a hot spot for everybody throughout the country. I was just curious what you thought from then to now.
I don't know that I can really talk about it with confidence a lot these days. Just by the nature of not being there as much. But when I moved to Lexington to start a band because I was having trouble doing that, I was living in Richmond, Kentucky at the time and really struggling to find some people that were creative. And I moved there to start a band, and I started that old band. And like all that I remember in that town then, and, you know, keep in mind, this is a, 21-year-old drunk, but I just remember so many damn jam bands and white boy reggae that, I hope I'm not being bothersome, but, I thought it sucked. And then like a month after I started my band, I've told this story so many times, I'm just going to run through it real quick. I was on a fair amount of mushrooms and went to the Dame and saw Sunday Valley for the first time.
I gave a shit about
in that town. It was the only band I gave a shit about. I mean, there was rad bands. Don't get me wrong. There's great punk bands and stuff, but and we can all kind of say that shit in retrospect, and we can all say how bad that band was. That band really was rad. There was no doubt. There was never any doubt. You know, it would have surprised all of us to see something not happen with that. Rest in peace, Billy Mason, who just passed away. But there was, you know, there's Sunday Valley, and we were kind of like punk asses then. We started selling a few more tickets a couple years later, and then there was Corley and the Townies. They were a real rad band, but they didn't really leave town, you know, just always drew a bunch of people. But, you know, Corey's great. But yeah, other than that, man, a bunch of noodling dudes just being real high on stage, and it, I don't know, man, that was never my thing. I wanted it to be a show. I didn't want it to be a cloud of smoke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So we, you know, and kind of immediately, I kind of regret doing this, but we didn't know any better, and we didn't have any label. We didn't have, for a long time, without label. We didn't have any like big brothers necessarily. So we just like split. I mean, we were touring, you know, I'm not going to say off MySpace because now I'm going to sound old, but you know, thank God for Indie on the Move and those websites, because we just went, you know, and we're playing for shithole bars for, you know, 10 cats who really couldn't care less.
Yeah.
And then we built our fan base that way, which is literally, to you, to any listeners who are maybe thinking about getting this business, is the longest and slowest way you can have a career.
But you know what? That's the way a lot of people have to do it. If they want to do it, that's how they're going to have to do it. And
if you do it that way, I'll tell you this, the good side of that is they can't take it away. You know, if you, mm-hmm. if you meet those people and you shake their hands and you're good to them, no label or agent or manager can take that from you. And those people, if you do them right, they're going to be there always, man.
Yeah, that's creating, you know, that's almost like when coaches recruit players or something. It's like they make those relationships last, and then every time you come back, it's like you never left. And you know, as much as you're a touring, when you're a touring musician, you're getting back there as quick as possible, obviously, and it's, those relationships are important.
I think it is, man. I you know, we ain't rich, but we're doing just fine.
Yeah. Same.
That was
I met you guys. And apparently, you know, Garrett is just, I guess, this like black rectangle in the bottom right that's not spoken.
Yeah. He's a mystical figure. Canadians, you know.
He's just, is he that kind of dude that's just saving up that big old knockout punch of a question right at the end? Mingled. And then he hits me with something about a girl that I asked to be my girlfriend in seventh grade with a guitar pick? Yeah. How embarrassing that was. Is he going to hit me with that?
He might. I can't verify that he's actually in that bottom right rectangle, but if he is, that's coming truly.
Speaking of wild Canadians and wild interview questions, that dude, I used to watch. Did y'all ever watch Nardwar?
What is it?
His name's Nardwar. He's
Is that the dude that asks really specific questions?
Yes, dude. Yeah, he does his research. Like, he'll go get albums that have like samples of these hip hop guys' songs they used, or you know, just unknown stuff, and they're just, their minds are blown. And he's been doing it for years, but you'll go down, if you go down the rabbit hole, you'll be stuck. So
he'll, be careful. He like goes and talks to their like freshman year high school teachers and like finds like weird shit they did in class. And he's like, hey, remember that time Miss Anderson said
he's thorough.
He'll say it to like Seth Rogen and shit, and they'll be like, what? How do you know this?
Oh, you guys should do that. Did anybody do their digging?
Not
Jonathan,
that deep.
I don't trust you. You go far enough back.
I'm more like, I like your music a lot, man. I'm honored to talk to you. Let's chat. And then Jonathan's like, I've liked your music even longer. But like that's not as deep as we go.
Fifth on the Floor was, and I told Justin this myself, they were probably like my transition into like, not like, that's probably when I stopped listening to the radio stuff and all that, coming out of high school. And yeah, I mean, Shooter's first album, one of the Mississippi Mud album from Hank 3, and then Fifth on the Floor, those kind of all just slingshot me into this scene. And then, you know, I found Nick Jamerson and the Sonny Best stuff, and then from there it just seems like it's snowballed. Now this scene is just massive, you know, for what we do.
It's totally different. It's better.
Yeah,
it's more positive, man. There was I feel like some of the stuff that was going on early on, it was like unnecessarily dark. And probably that was born, and I'm talking about in the music, and I think probably that was born from there not being any infrastructure, right? Like, the, you know, it was a lot of the, you know, it used to be called the underground country thing. And right. It's funny because Shooter and Hank 3, like, I didn't get into country till I was probably about 21, 22 years old. And I was into like some of like the, like, I remember like Whiskey Lullaby came out, Brad Paisley. And that's like, right. Country music has like, modern country music, like I was always a George Jones head, but you know, I was like, oh, you know, there's some redeemable quality to it. But the most, you know, most of it is embarrassing. And then I found three and I found Shooter, and like I said, man, that Sunday Valley, you know, kind of MySpace record that was never really released, that, you know, that I put that in my top five all time,
dude. It's, I'm lucky enough to have MP3s of it, you know, but I couldn't imagine. See, now, I wish I could remember the guy's name since we're on here, but there's a YouTube channel that has a bunch of old Sunday Valley stuff. And he's got some, like, it's shot so well because it feels like you're in, I mean, obviously he's in the crowd, but it still looks good. So it looks like you're kind of at these shows, and he goes behind the stage and stuff. And
yeah,
so obviously that's the most I've ever gotten, but I can't imagine. They looked electric just through the video.
It was probably, so. I bet it was Richie Wireman. I don't even
that's know. It. That's it. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Richie's a sweetheart. I've not seen Richie in a long time.
Yeah. So shout out to him if you want to watch some awesome Sunday Valley videos on YouTube.
No doubt. I was definitely on a video with him, but I don't remember which it would have been.
But, I mean, guys like that, guys like Roger Combs and people like that, that just, you know, because some of those people we need, it's like we don't want everybody to be in their phones and stuff, but we need those people that don't mind recording these shows or putting them out there for other people to see. And it's, it just seems like maybe that kind of really started with Tyler, because, I mean, his early stuff, there were videos all over the place, you know, before he even really blew up.
Yeah.
And then once he blew up, it's like, that's how I made those, you know, those through time videos, is there's so many of them. It's easy almost.
Now you pick and choose what moments of a concert to do that. Right. You don't want to be that girl that just is the entire time.
Oh no, I understand that, but you know, a lot
you pick and choose, and like that yeah. is, dude. That's what.
I mean, it's important. Like, so,
like, we've all been to Tyler shows where there's 20 people in the crowd, and then like you get some fucking good videos from that, and nobody knows. Like that was when nobody knew, and like that's still a thing. Like anytime I go to a show. And there's like not very many people there. Like that's, it's like, man, I wish more people knew that this was happening right now. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be memorable because 20 people is a lot easier or a lot more difficult to play for than 2000. 2000, that's cake. And I don't, you know, I don't do that a lot, but 20 people, you know, that's the challenge. And that's when, for one thing, you might see a singer try some shit that's crazy, and for another thing you might just see them try it all, you know.
I feel yeah. like
some of these cats and I ain't gonna say that, but I'm just saying that is a challenging thing that's gonna probably bring it. I don't know, I see those situations just as much as y'all, and you know the minute it starts, like, oh, this is gonna be a memorable situation, you know.
Yeah, and you know what, it wasn't that small of a show, and it wasn't super big show, but one of my biggest moments of this, one of my favorite moments I should say this year, was Americana Fest, when your sound was jacking up and your guitar was jack, dude, and you just got down and walked around and sang, and everybody was just focused, and I mean you were in the middle of us, and so I mean I can imagine that was, you know, but you rolled with it, and that was special. Well, that was really
that's
special.
That's kind of what I'm talking about, man, is yeah. What I'm attracted to on this side of the microphone, and what I'm also attracted to as a fan is, like, I like it when shit's a little like, oh man, a normal person might would like let off that gas a little bit and maybe yeah. think about that break. And I like it when it's kind of, there's a rattle that you can't explain. Yeah. You know, I like it when, yeah. I don't know, man, I like guitars just a little bit out of tune. I like it when, the notes are a little wonky. I like it when, I don't know,
you know, I saw somebody make a quote about listening listening to vinyl records. They're talking about, you know, why do you listen to vinyl? It has surface noise. And they're like, life has surface noise, man. Those imperfections are beautiful.
That's it. That's it, man. That's what we worked so hard. I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about you guys talking about the people that record the shows and stuff like that. It's kind of the same thing as like what you're able to do in the studio digitally with music is like, well, we can absolutely do is we can absolutely erase every blemish. But I think that we've all found as a society is that we like those blemishes. We like that, that honesty that people are talking about, they can hear it even if they're not musicians. It's the same with politics and all this bullshit. People can smell it. Laymen can smell it. The working man can smell it. They don't need a master's degree. Jesus Christ.
Yep. That was spot on. Man, we done.
I got nothing to contribute to that. That is the last.
Y'all need to, but I've been having too much caffeine. I can't shut up.
That needs to be like scripted in a book somewhere.
I probably lifted it. I'm gonna owe royalties on that.
I think there's no better time, and Jonathan, I'm sorry if you're not ready for this, but
every time I'm not ready for this, but that's all right, I got this.
We do a segment on Hippies and Cowboys called Rapid Fire Questions, and we're gonna ask you some random stuff.
I think it's a rapper fire. I was like, oh shit.
Nothing to do with rappers, Candy, or the singers. No.
Rapid fire. Okay. Okay.
So just some random questions for you to answer. And they're never rapid. They're just whenever you can get an answer is fine. We don't play hardball. But my first one for you, as we talked about in Kentucky, I mean, it kind of started with a tight-knit community, started with you moving to Lexington, back with Sunday Valley and kind of the progression of all that. I'm just curious, who is one Kentucky artist right now that you want the world to know about, like a younger person that maybe not everybody knows about?
Oh, a younger person? No, I'm going to say an older person. Adam Lee. I would put up next to any writer in the state, and that's a fact. And all the writers in the state are friends of mine, and I think they would also agree. Adam is a kind of a horribly kept secret, I think, at this point. And not a native, neither am I. You know, he's been in Kentucky for about 4 years, but he's up in Ludlow hiding out. A younger artist, I mean, come on, y'all. Abby Hamilton's the thing. You know that.
Man.
And I don't know how old she is, but I'm at Jonathan at that damn Americana Fest is when I got hit to SG Goodman. I was just in her town. I can't.
Yeah, she's from out here.
Buddy, I can't stop listening to her, man. She blew my mind at that thing.
She was supposed to open for Isbell here in Owensboro last month, and I don't know what happened to it, if it was with the, you know, cancellations or whatever. But yes, man, I found her. Man, it was like right when her album or EP or whatever she released last came out, and it said she was from Western Kentucky, and I was like, I'd never heard of her, but yes, she rocked at Americana.
Loud guitars, man. It's like, man, I was there for it for sure.
Yeah, she was great. All right, Mike, you took one of my questions. Okay, let's go. I guess, let's say, if you could play at any venue, let's say tomorrow night, you got a show, you're setting it up, you can play at any venue, driving, time doesn't matter, you're transporting there. Where's that at?
I want to play in whatever scientific hut they have in Antarctica where Metallica played like years ago. I want to play there. Put Kentucky boys in there, and definitely everybody's gonna be probably having a good or really bad time.
We're going one or the other.
There's gonna be some procreation going on. Yeah, we're gonna make Antarctic babies.
Nobody's gonna be wearing clothes. It's gonna be chaos.
Fine. That's fine. That's fine. We bring hoodies. I got clean hoodies for sale. They get.
Oh man! You know what's crazy? What also about that Americana Fest? It blows my mind that Metallica recorded a live album in the basement. That blows my mind.
Did I mention that was my first Nashville show, man? With a band called 500 Miles to Memphis. A really cool band. Y'all should check out. But they took us there when we were, you know, young punk ass. That was my first Nashville show. I was like, boy, we have arrived. We've done played for
something. That's wild. And you know, just over the last 2 to 3 years, probably since I've been doing the page, is when I realized that Grimey is actually from Owensboro. I never knew that growing up.
I think I did know that. I knew he ran around with Blaine from Nashville Pussy and, well, 9 Pound Hammer at the time.
9 Pound Hammer, yeah.
But hey, let me tell you what an asshole I felt like when they had to, you know, we didn't know what was going on and there was no plug to pull, but I didn't know that the MC was Grimey.
Yeah.
And that dude, hey, no shit, man. Like, that dude's been real kind to me in emails that, you know, in years past. And I felt just like the big old ignorant ass that I am. But I think we were all friendly, right?
Yeah. He's a regular looking dude, too. So, you know. Speaking of 9 Pound Hammer, they just released an album not too long ago.
I bet they did. It's like their 40th album. Those dudes are going to live forever. I toured with Nashville Pussy, and that's when I started using ear protection.
Yeah.
You guys are bringing full stack Marshalls in like a 300 cap room. I'm like, what is going on, dude?
Yeah, they're all about overkill.
We thought we were loud, man.
Cowpunk show's hitting hard.
Cowpunk. Is anybody still playing cowpunk?
I don't know. I think I just still call it that. Rarely, but I guess, yeah.
I love it.
All right. I'll segue into my last rapid fire. And this one's one out of curiosity, because anybody who ever posts a photo with Justin Wells on social media, the caption 9 times out of 10 has something to do with his towering size. So if you could be one animal or maybe even call it a spirit animal, what would you be?
The weak answer would be a lion. I mean,
that what would be the strong answer be then?
What's that?
So if the weak answer is a lion, what's the strong answer?
The strong answer is like whatever that like prehistoric reptile was, it was like somehow the link to like modern whales, but it had legs. It was like I think it was like a lizard. Whenever they show pictures, it's like that thing can't even swim. It's just like so big that it's like wherever it lands in the ocean, that's where it's going to dominate. That's
so much stronger of an answer than the lion.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's it. That's perfect.
God, he's Byron. Did y'all have Byron on here? He probably already got the armadillo.
Who's that?
God hates Byron. That'd be another animal.
They should get him.
So we were supposed to have him. He was playing in Iowa City a couple months ago, and we were going to do one before his show, but they loaded in later than they were supposed to, and it never worked out. But we're supposed to have Scott on.
You're going to need like 10 explicit tags when it's in the listing on the podcast.
We're already rated not family friendly, so we're good.
I ain't nothing but family friendly, man.
Maybe we take it off for this one. I don't know. Yeah.
Where are you at in Iowa, Mike?
What's that?
Where are you at in Iowa?
Just outside of Iowa City.
Okay, so we got time for a real quick Iowa story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were playing this place out in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, called the 503, and they spell it out. And I think it's their area code.
That's the Legion.
It's a Legion?
It's an American Legion.
It wasn't at the time, or if it was, I don't think it was. But here's how this goes. At the end of the night, you know, we're just silly upside down. This is flipped on the 4 days. And we were in this, me and Maddie were in this, like, let's call it a phase where we were doing that dumbass, like, Red Dead Redemption, like, I mean, it's before that game, but like that knife hands thing, right? Where you're like, doing like, don't skip with your fingers. You know, of course, the two guitar players, like, idiots, you know, dumb boys. This before we were dads, but, anyway, we're it's the end of the night. We're fans, the only ones in there. He's fine with us drinking. This guy's a nice guy, but like one of them sour looking dudes. Never looks like he's happy. And we're sitting there playing that knife hands game on this bar. And instead, he comes out and says, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "No, man, it's cool. We're professional. Ain't nobody gonna get hurt." And he said, "I ain't worried about your damn fingers. That's a brand new bar top."
Oh, that's good.
That would have been like Des Moines-ish.
Okay, I'm going to sound like an idiot, but it's Iowa Falls, a small town. It's like a meat processing plant in that town, and the whole town smells like slaughtered day-old pig.
Iowa Falls is the biggest sham of all time. There's no falls. There's no water.
I'm not even sure.
No. If your name replaced Iowa Falls, you think it's like the waterfalls of Iowa. No, there's fucking nothing there. There's no waterfalls.
Well, there's good people, man. They don't give a damn, too. It's like
they do give a damn about their bar tops, I guess.
But they give a damn. He was pissed off because he had to put out a veggie tray because of our ride. I think he had to leave town to get the veggie tray.
Probably, yeah.
Apologies to that guy who's manscaped.
Oh shit. Oh, I missed that last part. Was it?
I just gave you the code to get 30 lives, but whatever, man. You weren't listening. Your listeners are like, what the fuck?
They've hung on for the last 52 minutes, so they're fine.
Are we going for a record?
No. Blake Berglund has our record, dude. It was like 3.5 hours.
Who did it?
Blake Berglund. He's from Canada.
Dude, I know Blake. Oh, dude, Blake's a sweetheart.
Yeah. That dude, yeah. That knows 3.5 hours of sweetheart.
Yeah. He's probably just saying, you know, being real nice. It's like 2.5 hours of well-mannered.
It was 3.5 hours of me just not getting over his accent, dude.
Yeah.
Something about his Saskatchewan accent is so hilarious to me.
How's Blake doing? I've not talked to him in a couple years.
Last I talked to him probably a couple months ago. He's doing well, him and Bell. They've been laying low a little bit in the pandemic, but he played a show in Edmonton for Garrett. Garrett put it on up there, and I think they're just kind of staying to themselves right now. He put out that album probably 2 years ago now, and just writing, playing low. But he's doing
Garrett well. In Alberta.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. He's a Corb Lund guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big Corb Lund guy.
Big old Corb Lund guy.
Is he?
Big old.
I want to say that Lucette is from Alberta. Now I'm not sure.
I think she is.
Didn't she?
That sounds good.
Because I think I told Garrett to listen to her, and then he was like, I think she's from Alberta. And that was right after.
I don't know if she's still making music, but she made that. I think the last thing I heard was the one she did with Stu.
Yeah.
That was fantastic, man. She's so talented.
Mm-hmm. And then she did that one with, she did that video with Stu and J.D. Wilkes.
Oh, yeah. It was Blake Judd, bud.
Yeah. That was so. That was kick ass.
They was vamping on some old brother on that shit.
Yeah, man, hard.
Why does Colonel J.D. Wilkes be playing a preacher in every video? Dude?
Everything. Shooters video.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a special part of Kentucky music too. There's nobody else like him.
When somebody does like some sort of weird like family tree of like the history of Kentucky music. They're going to keep going up, and it's going to be this and that and this and that. And at the very, very top, it's going to be Colonel J.D. Wilkes. He's going to be everybody's peepaw.
Man, he's done such a good job with everything, with the little documentaries he's done, the books. And he's so eccentric. And other than his music career, which is, you know, speaks for itself, he keeps his hand in the community, and he's a big piece. And another Western Kentuckian, so.
Well, he cares I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that loves his home state or her home state more than JD, but also just his wealth of knowledge of real Americana. I'm not talking about the music. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, the teepees on the side of the road. You know,
yeah.
I'm talking about the biggest I know. Yeah. Is it Guntown or Funtown? Which is it going
to
be?
Well, now it's back to Guntown. No, old guy that owned Funtown. He was a special breed himself.
Here's a little pro tip. That dude bought Fifth on the Floor's tour van after we broke up.
Did he?
And he did the Lebowski Fest, and he covered that white tour van with bumper stickers of Big Lebowski quotes, and that's the most fitting end for that van I could think of.
Dude, that guy, I know, I hate that he had his own issues. I don't know if he's doing all right or not, but I think he's doing
quite a bit better.
Yeah, he wants to do awesome stuff, and I love that, so.
We need more of that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Are y'all out of rapid fire questions? Y'all only had like a 5-gun shooter of rapid fire questions.
Here I got. I can ask one.
I was gonna say technically Jonathan has one more. But.
If let's say if you could record a song with anyone, and I'm talking about like maybe not even necessarily harmonizing, but at least being on a song with somebody. Let's say living or dead. Who do you think it would be? Maybe whose voice do you think would? No, with yours, you got a big voice. I don't know.
Are we talking specifically singers?
Well, I mean, I don't guess. No, I don't guess it has to be. No.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be rad to get David Gilmour to do a thing?
I was thinking I was trying to think of a voice, like a female voice that I'd like to hear against your, you know, big voice. And I was trying to think of who I'd want to hear against. I'd almost have to hear it. It's like
Alison Krauss.
Oh, she could probably meld with anybody,
huh? Like soul, man.
Yeah.
Austin Krauss would be amazing, but I don't think you'd be able to hear me from all the crying I'd be doing.
Yeah.
Dude, well, you mentioned Whiskey Lullaby earlier, so it's
Yeah.
And, you know, that's almost got a January in Louisiana feel to it. Damn.
Maybe I could do a record. Maybe I could be like the bass on the Ink Spot. The dude, you know, kind of like, or like later on, like Boyz II Men, and like, he's like, he's just basically talking. Like, is this dude getting paid equal? Because all this dude is doing is coming in looking like the most fly cat in the room, got the walking stick, and all this dude is doing is just talking in the microphone. And like, all these dudes have been singing their ass off. Everybody's been like, you know, these guys are like trained singers or whatever. They sing it, whatever the story might be, just crushing it, right? And I'm missing no notes. And then this dude is just coming in, and instantly every woman in the spot and half the dudes is after that dude. Ain't worried about the singers hitting all the notes.
Looking for the fly guy.
Baby, I got kicked out of a McDonald's.
You're about to get kicked out of McDonald's?
I think they said last call. So
last call. Well, pending that we release this, not next week, but the week after, when you're about to get kicked out of McDonald's, let's end the show with an intro to Blue Moon from Kentucky.
Blue Moon,
Of Kentucky,
Mike.
Jonathan, you better get your game.
What are you doing? Come on now. You don't even know what you said. You said like Kentucky Blue of from, I don't know. Blue Moon of Kentucky, Justin Wells, the great Bill Monroe song, the song that probably should be our state song.
Absolutely. I agree. It's a lot less problematic than our current one.
Right. And I mean, you know, I know we all love that song, and I love it too, but there's been issues with it, and, you know, they talk about it here and there. But
it's just, hey, man, let's maybe put in a bid for Kentucky Rain too. I love that song.
That's a great song. That's a good one.
With production.
That is a beautiful song too.
Well, hey, all bullshit aside, Mike and Jonathan and Derek down there in the bottom right, being all dark, thank you guys for your time, and thank you for having me on.
Dude, it's been a long time coming, and we're glad to finally make it happen.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to kind of talk about, you know, you coming up through the Lexington scene and how you're doing now, and looking forward to new music, especially.
Me too.
Yeah,
let's all get up to Wisconsin Dells and go do the damn thing in person.
Let's do it.
Yes. Always down for an excuse to go up to the Dells. That dude gets the best music, but it's always on like a Tuesday night. It's crazy. And then
how you know musicians love
them. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll leave it with the great Bill Monroe cover as long as No, Jonathan's giving me a weird eye.
What are we doing? Oh, no. I was just making sure you said the title right. Blue Moon of Kentucky.
That's how I have it written.
Maybe you just pronounce it like Kentucky, like on speaker OG. That'd be rad.
All right. Thanks, Justin. And we'll leave everybody with the cover of the great Bill Monroe. Blue Moon of Kentucky.
By God.
Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and proved untrue. Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. It was on the moonlit night, stars shining bright. They whispered on high, love said goodbye. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. Kentucky, keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone and proved untrue. Blue moon, keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. It was on the moonlit night, stars shining bright, they whispered on high, love said goodbye. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone, left me blue. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue.